Thank you, Bill. Good morning. If you're visiting Calvary this morning, we just want to let you know you are welcome. You have a family here in Christ, and you're always welcome back. Except for the peanut gallery. So let's just get right into it this morning. Let's turn to Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And we'll be doing a little bit of skipping around. I think you'll appreciate it. So, some 25 years ago, Chris and Barb Schroeder started the Ezekiel Project School of Evangelism, and they asked a few of us young, single guys at that time, young and single, and, you were married, and you had Danielle, to be part of a guinea pig program. And they asked if we would come over and they would teach us all about the Bible and teach us how to preach. And I remember one of the things that Chris told us is, look, you young guys, if you don't know what to preach on, go with what you know. Go with what you know. And I knew that next week is Father's Day, and I didn't want to steal, Larry will be preaching next week, I didn't want to steal Larry's thunder on Father's Day. So I thought, well, I'll go with what I know. So I wanted to preach on a little bit of creation and evolution, and I thought, nah, they don't want to hear that. So I thought, I know what I'll do. So I am going, today's message is for the fathers that aren't fathers yet. Today's message is for the young men. They're already rolling their eyes and everything. The young men that will one day be fathers. When was the last time you heard a sermon like that, huh? So we're going to get right into it, and we're going to look at one of the greatest fathers in the Bible. So let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Now, this is what they call the Great Faith chapter. And we know it well. We learn it in Sunday school. Some people can quote it. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were created. Verse 4, by faith Abel did this. Verse 5, by faith Enoch did this. In verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. In verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, the flood, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So the title of my sermon today is Noah, a Successful Father. And yes, I am speaking to the younger men, the younger single men today, but trust me, there's something for everybody today, okay? So, and our text is Hebrews 11, but we'll be skipping around in Genesis and a couple other passages today. So, when we think of Noah and Noah's greatest accomplishment in life, immediately, oh, the ark. Oh, he survived the flood. But Noah was also a successful father. Young men, remember that. What was his greatest accomplishment? It was his family's faith. His family did not waver. Now that's really something. His wife, his three sons, and his three sons' wives were faithful people. He was a great husband and father. And think about it. Noah is the father of all living today. You are a direct descendant of Noah and Mrs. Noah. Isn't that something? We don't pause to think about that. That is really something. So he's a literal father of humanity in one sense. But he was also a great father and husband to his family. But no one knew a lot about raising a family in difficult times. And I'll tell you, I tell my boys a lot, this world is getting weird. This world is very different from the 70s I grew up in. When I think of the 70s, I think of TV shows like Little House on a Prairie or The Waltons. And maybe some of you have never even seen those shows. I can guarantee you this, you will never see a show like The Waltons on today's TV. That show was just plain good. The characters were good. The message was good. You won't see The Waltons on TV nowadays. This world is too weird for The Waltons or Little House on the Prairie. You might be able to find those shows on some retro channel somewhere. This world is getting strange. I helped a friend move some furniture. We went down 8 Mile. It was one CBD store after the next. All drugs. And lots of young ladies walking up and down the sidewalk all the way across 8 Mile. And some of those stores, they have hijacked the Swiss Army, the white cross from Swiss Army. They replaced the red with green. And some of the stores have the rainbow on there. This world is getting weird. There's all kinds of things that are accepted as normal. We're programmed. It's normal. It might be common, but it ain't normal. So this world is getting really strange, okay? And so the young men are going to have to make a decision and make it quick, okay? Who are you going to follow? Are you going to allow the current to drag you off, or are you going to focus and set your compass on the Lord and follow Him and struggle against the current? All right? So how did Noah then succeed in such a time that he lived in? He lived in an age of wickedness and evil thinking. Let's flip back to Genesis 6 real quick. We're going to get rolling here. And Genesis chapter 6, we are not going to talk about the Nephilim today. If you want to ask me questions about the Nephilim and some of the things that were going on in Noah's day, I'll be happy to talk with you about after the sermon. But today is a message mostly for the young men and about Noah as a father and about you as one day a father in your future and a husband. So let's take a look. Verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man, this is Genesis chapter 6, was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Man, those are some strong words. Can you imagine such a world? This is before God gave the law through Moses. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. This is before the patriarchs. This is before God spoke through the prophets. So I'm thinking, when it says the world was only evil continually, you make your neighbor mad, he just picks up a rock and bashes your head in and walks away. And there's no law. There's no police. There's no one to take that man away to jail. There's no trial, jury, judge. It's just wickedness. This is a violent world. Yes. Wickedness and violence. You see it. And this world is only getting more and more violent. And the Bible says that it will wax worse and worse. And the word wax, the illustration is like if you have a candle and it's exposed to a bunch of heat, it just disintegrates and it's no longer useful. And you're seeing it in your own neighborhood. Someone pulls out a knife. And then, and if we look, that's verse 5, now look at verse 11. Genesis 6:11, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So how could Noah then be a successful father in this kind of a world? And what is our world becoming like? Well, we are going to see three pillars of Noah's life. Three pillars. What's the least thing that you need to set up a table? Three legs. What's the least that you need to set up a stool? Three legs. What are the three pillars of Noah's life, young men? The first is that Noah walked with God. That's the first pillar. The second is that Noah witnessed to others. That's the second pillar. And then the third is that Noah won his children. Three pillars that we need to emulate to be a successful father. So let's look at these three pillars. Noah walked with God. Verses 8 and 9. Now at this time, the gulf between men and God was widening. We back up to verse 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. I think what he's saying here, Noah, you got 120 years to build the ark. The clock is ticking. I snapped the stopwatch. The clock is ticking. I'm not going to strive with man forever. And then if we peek at verse 5, he saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and every imagination was horrible. But not so with Noah. He was an exception. Verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, this is not to say that Noah was somehow sinless. He was not perfect. But we'll see in a minute he was just, okay? Noah responded to God's grace. Now, I want to show you something. If you care to flip to 2 Kings with me, I want to go on a little sidebar. What does it mean to walk with God? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He was a just man, perfect in his generations. It doesn't mean that he was perfect. And Noah walked with God. So let's flip to 2 Kings. I'm going to use my phone here. The pages of my Bible got wet, and it's hard for me to flip quickly. So I'll use my phone. 2 Kings chapter 23. If you care. And what does it mean to walk with the Lord? Now we know Adam and Eve walked with the Lord in the garden in the cool of the evening. This is a little different. So we'll start in verse 1 of 2 Kings chapter 23. What is going on here in 2 Kings 22, Josiah and his prophets found the lost, what was at their time the Bible. It was portion of the Old Testament. And they said, oh, we found the Bible. Let's open up and read it. And they read it and they realized, oh, man, we've been breaking God's commandments all this time. So they felt compelled to repent. So we come to chapter 23, and the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great, the children too. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant which was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by a pillar, and he made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord, to walk after the Lord. So it is the way you conduct your life. This is what walking with the Lord is. And to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in the book. There were people of the book, and all the people stood to the covenant. This is what walking with the Lord is. He is your life, and you adjust the compass of your life to his will. Right? Okay, that's a little sidebar. And it says, and Noah walked with God. Noah made the Lord his friend, someone that he depended on for help and security. He's not a token that you put on a windowsill. He's not a good luck charm. Remember, Jesus in John 15:15 said, "No longer call I you servants, but friends." Isn't that amazing? You will not find this in any other religion in the world anywhere. That your Creator is your friend. And he knows you right where you are. And he knows your struggles. And he knows your concerns. And he knows you want to get married one day. And he has a girl waiting for you and just you. And the more obedient you are to him, and the more patient you are with him, the better and better your marriage will be one day. Trust me. But Jesus said, "I am your friend." And Noah made God his friend. He walked with him. I remember when I first got saved, I got saved about the age of 17. Tennis shoe salesman took off my shoe, and he had me a captive audience. I couldn't leave. My shoe was off. And he started witnessing to me. And he asked me, "So how do you know, when you die one day, how do you know you're going to heaven?" Oh, man, I didn't know how to answer that. And it was eating at me. And then I got a job in the same mall, Lakeside Mall. Now, do you think I just accidentally got a job there? No. The Lord gave me that job. So then I went down and I started talking to this guy because it was eating at me. Where am I going when I die? And he became a pretty good friend. And one of the things that he told me that I will never forget is he said, "Mike, spend your time doing the things you should do, and you won't have time to do the things you shouldn't do." Young men, spend your time doing the things you should do. Walk with God. Make him your friend. He will bless you and bless you, and you will never be sorry. So be willing to be different. Make your walk sincere and wholehearted, and be consistent. This is walking with God. All right? So that is the first pillar, walk with God. The second one is that Noah witnessed to others. Now, to be a successful dad, remember, your children are going to watch you from about 6 inches on up. Your children will watch you. And every time you say, "No, get out of the cookie jar because we're about to eat dinner," they're going to watch and see if you're going to go into the cookie jar. Okay? Now, this is natural. Children, they desperately want to know where the boundaries are. And when the parent tells them no, they hear, but they want to know where does the no end and the yes begin. So they will naturally test you, and they're going to reach for a cookie. It's not because they're bad. They desperately need their mom and dad to tell them where does the no end and where does the yes begin. So they're going to test you. Don't get mad. Just spank them once in a while. No, I'm kidding. Don't get mad. It is a natural thing, and they will do that, and they love it when you correct them because now they know where that boundary is, all right? So don't get upset. It's actually a good thing. But I'm supposed to be talking about Noah witnessing to others, so let's get right back into that. Okay, so, but they're going to watch you. And they want to know, does my mom and dad witness to others? I mean, this is part of this Christian life, right? And witnessing to others does not come natural. It is difficult. It is uncomfortable. But the more you fall in love with Jesus, the more you realize really how important witnessing to others is. So in verse 7, of Hebrews 11, where we began. If you care to turn back there real quick, let's see what it says about Noah as a father and as a witness. This is the pillar of Noah's life. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, yet moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which will he condemned the world, became an heir of righteousness by faith. I'm sorry, I meant to go to 2 Peter chapter 2. It's only a few pages over. I'm sorry, I wrote down the wrong scripture. 2 Peter chapter 2. It's about 10, 12 pages away to the right. 2 Peter 2, 5. Well, we'll start in 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and not spared the old world before the flood, but saved Noah, the eighth person, and a preacher of righteousness. Peter wanted us to know. What do we know Noah for? The ark, the flood, the rainbow sealed the deal, and now you know that he was a good father. But we often forget Noah was a preacher of righteousness. They were building that ark probably for 100 years, him and his sons. His sons were faithful. His sons were obedient. And as the sun would set every night and they finished off their lemonade, he probably said, you know what, guys? There's still a little bit of time left in the day. Let's go into town and preach. They need to hear they're going to perish unless they get into the ark. Let's go. And maybe the sons were like, oh, Dad, man, we got, you know, Starsky and Hutch is on TV. But Noah said, no, this is important. Let's go into town. Dad, they're going to throw tomatoes at us. Let's do it. And he led. He was a preacher of righteousness. For years and years. How many people got saved? That ark was massive. And when you add up the kinds of animals and the room that was needed, there was plenty of room on that ark for people. God's not stupid. The size of that ark would have saved tons and tons of people. How many converted and got aboard that ark? Zero, except Noah's family, 8 people. Did he quit after 10 years? He preached for, could have been 120 years, could have been more. No one got in the ark. He didn't quit. He was a preacher. He was a preacher of righteousness. and so were his sons. He didn't stop. And let's compare and contrast the two descriptions. The world was corrupt, violent, wicked, evil. What did Noah say? Well, Lord, they're really not worth it. No. He was obedient. Noah's description, he was just. He was complete. He was perfect in his generations. He walked with God. Noah didn't have excuses. Hey, you know, look at me. I'm worth it, Lord. They're not. He didn't do that. So, his family watched him. This is where I began. Your children will watch you. His family watched him, and they saw his steadfast faith, and they followed it. Young men, you want to be a successful father? While you're a son now, be an obedient, faithful, observant son. Watch your parents and emulate them. Desire to be like them so that when you're a dad and when you young ladies are moms, your children will be like you and their children will be like them. Okay? That's how to be a successful father. Be willing to witness to others. Be willing to be different. We usually think Noah rainbow, Noah ark, Noah flood. But Noah was a preacher, and he witnessed to others, and his family saw that. His kids said, man, there's no reason why I can't do that. But if Noah hadn't been faithful in that, his sons wouldn't have done it either. You know, I always think of this illustration. It was many years ago. I'm pretty sure it was at the older other assembly, and we went out on a Halloween, and one of the dads was with me, and he had his cup of coffee, and we had tracks. We had Bible tracks in stacks or shrink wrapped and everything. And so I had my boys who were really little, and he had his kids. And we're going down the sidewalk, and you got Halloween going. And I would go with my boys up to the door and give the track and kind of lead and show my boys how to do it and then come back down. Well, this other guy was handing the tracks to his kids and telling them, go give those out. And he would stay on the sidewalk. And he wanted to talk business and talk about different things. And I would have to say, well, okay, hold that thought. And I'd run up to the door and give out the track and then come back, and then we would continue. And I was thinking, why isn't he should be demonstrating to his kids how this is done. And I could see in the kids' eyes, they were wondering, why do we have to do this and he doesn't? And they were doing what they were told. But I thought to myself, and I'll never forget this, those kids are going to grow up to hate him. Because he's telling them what to do and not leading by example. I'll never forget it. So, and then another story I'll never forget is we had a real godly family here at this assembly for like 10 years, and they've since moved away. And the dad told me he was raised in a Christian home. He was raised in the Plymouth Brethren assemblies. And he told me, wherever you go, plant your flag and raise it high. Right, don't think twice about it. Demonstrate to others, witness to others, because if you think about it for a minute, you'll want to sneak that flag down and hide, right? So Noah was a witness to others. Young men, be willing to be a witness to others now. Do it now, and it'll be natural when you're a man, and your kids will see it, and their kids will see it, and they will emulate you. That's how you be a successful father. So we see that Noah walked with God. Noah witnessed to others, and Noah won his children. He did not command his sons to trust God. He didn't tell them what to do. They followed him. And it's interesting, they literally followed him into the ark. We all know from Sunday school that it was the Lord that closed the door on the ark. Did everyone know that? Noah didn't. He wasn't pulling a rope. Come on, guys, pulling a rope, trying to close the door. Now, that door was probably massive. The Lord closed the door. But back in verse 7, it says, the Lord called him into the ark. And Noah followed, and then his sons, and then his wife, and then the sons' wives. They, I mean, come on, it doesn't say this, but we can infer they didn't have to obey. I mean, one of them could have said, man, I ain't getting into that thing. I saw Japheth, he wasn't pitching and tarring over there in Sector B, you know. I ain't getting into that thing. Dad, Noah, I've been with you this whole time, but I'm not trusting my life in that ark. Or they could have just said, you know, are we sure that this rain is really going to flood? There could have been doubt. There could have been problems, family problems. But they made the choice to follow their dad, literally. Noah did not command them to be obedient in their faith. Rather, he led them. He was the family patriarch. He did what was right. They saw his life, and they chose willingly to do what is right. He won his children. Young men, you cannot be a successful father one day by ordering your children to get saved and trust in Jesus, right? It has to flow from you. They have to see it in you. And you can't order them what to be in life either, or they'll hate you, right? Let the Lord direct them in their lives. You lead by example. We know Colossians chapter 3 says, fathers, provoke not your children, lest they be discouraged. So it looks like we're going to end a little bit early. I have a serious story to tell you, but it's my family, and I don't think anyone in my family would be upset at me telling the story. It's my relatives. But I remember as a very young man being at my aunt and uncle's house, and my uncle he had two sons, they're my cousins. My uncle would father his children by, when they're doing something dangerous, like, you know, standing up high precariously and they could fall off, instead of correcting them, he would say, well, let them fall off. If they break their arm, they'll learn. And as a young man, I would see this and think to myself, wait, my dad always prevents us from getting hurt. Oh, he's sticking his finger in a light socket? Well, that's fine. Let him get shocked. He'll learn. I remember being 8, 9, 10 years old thinking, what? And I knew in my head, he doesn't really care about his kids. Not really. I'm sure he loves them. But you can't truly care. His oldest son in the 70s jumped into a stolen car with some buddies, looking for some attention from his father. Wound up in a juvenile prison, escaped. That threw him into jail. Would not submit to authority. Got into more trouble. Eventually raped and murdered a girl in Illinois, my cousin. And it became, they used DNA many, many years later to prove it was him and find him guilty, and it ended up on a Dateline special. And I see it as the way he was raised. He wasn't prevented from doing things wrong. He wasn't prevented from making mistakes. His father did not win his son over. A successful father prevents his children from making mistakes, and it inherently tells the children that he loves them. They'll struggle with you. Get away from the light socket. You're going to get shocked. Oh, Dad, I will not. They're going to struggle with you, but they love you. Deep inside, it's hard for them to say it. They may not say it, but they love you for correcting them and setting the boundaries. They know that you love them when you correct their mistakes. So we're almost out of time. Let's review. To be a successful father, young men, the Lord knows you want to be married. You pray to him about your future wife, and he will select a young lady that is just right for you. He will. It may take a little longer than you want, but that's all right. You just tell him, Lord, I'm being patient, I'm waiting. Now, some of you may choose, like Tim, you know, he's just not ready, and he's fine with that. I believe that young men that are willing to serve the Lord full-time like that, and Greg, there is an extra special blessing in that for you, and that is fine. But most of us desire to be married. It's just kind of a natural thing. We don't. Some can be alone, some can't. Okay? So, to be a successful father, look at Noah, a great father in the Bible. We don't think of it. We think of the ark and the flood. He was a successful father. His sons loved him, and they followed him willingly. What are the three pillars? He walked with God. He was consistent. He was willing to witness to others. And he won his children. Noah was a successful father. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we give you thanks for our dads. We thank you as our heavenly Father. We thank you for your word that gives us instruction and guidance, and we can depend on it. And we thank you for great fathers like Noah and others who are willing to lead and be there as a pillar to the family. And we thank you for these three pillars in Noah's life that show us how he did it in such a wicked and perverse world, and yet he was successful. We thank you, Lord. Help me as a dad to be consistent in my life, that my sons see me and want to emulate me without me forcing it upon them. Help the other dads here and the moms. Help us as we raise our kids. And then these young singles, they'll be getting married soon enough, Lord. Bless them and their future spouses that may have not even met yet. We just ask that you would bless their lives and set their feet upon a path that is good in your sight, that is obedient and faithful. And we thank you in advance for all these answered prayers. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.